Live and local, this is a Juno Afternoon on Thursday, August 9, 2018. I'm your host today, Shelley Delaney, and on today's show, Kate Inge will be here with our weekly update from Juno Public Library, and she's brought a surprise guest with her. We'll get the details on the PEO Whale Watch Cruise and fundraiser. We'll also hear about the school supply drive sponsored by the Zach Gordon Youth Center. And Nancy DeCherney will be in with Arts Up. Those interviews, national native news, bird note music, and more coming up right here on a Juno Afternoon. Got to take a look at the weather. Rain is in the forecast for the rest of today. Chance of precipitation 100%, high near 60 degrees. Tonight, rain with lows near 53. Chance of precipitation is 80%. There is a flood warning in effect for the Mendenhall Lake and River area until 10 a.m. tomorrow. National Native News is next.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonia Gonzalez. A San Juan County, Utah official is under fire for falsely backdating a document used to keep Navajo County Commission candidate Willie Gray Eyes off the ballot. On Tuesday, U.S. District Court Judge David Newford dismissed the challenge to Gray Eyes' residency, in large part because County Clerk John David Nielsen falsified the original complaint. Nielsen admitted during a deposition he intentionally put the wrong date on the formal complaint, so it appeared it was filed before the deadline required under Utah election rules. Gray Eyes' attorney, Stephen Bose, calls the action egregious. He said the judge's ruling from the bench this week singled out the action for denying Gray Eyes his due process.
With that backdating, that made this look a whole lot more serious than it might have otherwise. It obviously had a huge impact on the judge's thinking.
Gray Eyes is a Democrat running for an open commission seat. The chair of the County Democratic Party is calling for Nielsen to resign his position as county clerk. Nielsen has yet to comment publicly on the issue. San Juan is the same county that was forced to redraw election districts because a judge ruled the existing boundaries were gerrymandered to limit the collective voting power of Navajo voters. The Santa Fe School Board voted this week to scale back annual school visits by people dressed up as Spanish conquistadors and Franciscan monks. The action comes following increasing criticism over an event that representatives from surrounding pueblos say romanticizes the violent oppression of native people by Spanish soldiers more than 300 years ago. The vote came this week after a three-hour public meeting. Most of those commenting on the plan opposed taking the reenactors out of the schools. School Superintendent Veronica Garcia began reviewing the school visits by what's known as the Fiesta Court a year ago. She says it grew out of a recognition that school officials needed to better understand the full context for presenting historical events.
Whereas some people may see this as just a fun tradition of, you know, dancing and looking forward to having the court come to school and have it be a special day and those fond memories, causes you to then recognize, well, how would I feel if this represented things that were painful to my ancestors and that this is really being celebrated.
Garcia calls the new policy a compromise. It limits appearances of the reenactors to 4th, 7th, and 9th grade history classes. It also does away with the practice of selecting school children to portray conquistador Don Diego de Vargas and the Fiesta Queen. Garcia says school officials will continue meeting with all the stakeholders to form a stronger recommendation for next year. Last month, the organizers of the larger City Fiesta announced they are halting a pageant meant to commemorate de Vargas's return to Santa Fe following the Pueblo Revolt against Spanish occupation in 1680. Google is honoring Cherokee scientist Mary Golda Ross on what would be her 110th birthday. The internet giant is featuring her image as the Google Doodle graphic at the top of the main search page. Ross is considered the first Native woman to work as an engineer. Ross started as a mathematician at Lockheed Missiles and Space Company in 1942. The company sent her for more education at UCLA, then rehired her as an aerospace engineer. She went on to work on top-secret defense projects, as well as the precursor to the Apollo program. She was a strong proponent for encouraging women and Native Americans to study science and engineering. She died in 2008 at the age of 99. The Google graphic was drawn by Kickapoo artist Aragon Starr. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group. provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by AARP. At AARP, we create and connect you to unique tools and programs to help you save money and tackle the issues that matter most to you, your family, and your community. What we do might surprise you. More at AARP.org. Support by Freedom Lodge, presenting Body and Earth, the future of Native wellness, with leaders including Chief Arvo Looking Horse, sharing wisdom which protects our lives and lands, September 12th through the 15th, Mystic Lake Casino. Registration through September 12th at bodyandearth.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and it's Thursday, so my first guest, as usual, is Kate Inge, Grants and Marketing Coordinator for the Juneau Public Libraries, and you brought a surprise guest with you today.
Yeah, so I have somebody else with me today.
Please introduce him.
So I have Mark Wheeler from COPA. Everybody knows Mark, I'm pretty sure. And he's going to help us tomorrow with our Science Friday Science of Ice Cream program.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mark, welcome back to Juneau Afternoon.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Yep. And I am a huge, huge fan of public libraries. I think that and KTO are like some of the best institutions in this town.
I agree. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the library, too. I nerd out with Kate quite a bit, pretty much once a week.
It's like my second office. I love the Mendenhall Library.
That place is nice.
So beautiful, like the light in there. And today I was there and it was raining and it was this cool sound of the rain.
Yeah, could you hear it on the roof?
Yeah, it was
That was really fun.
Very comforting. Yeah, I just love being there.
Have you guys lit a fire in the hearth yet?
We did last winter. They finally lit it when it was really cold. There's a couple staff members who know how to turn it on and light it for programs and stuff. So this coming up fall and winter, I think we're going to use it a lot.
But it's not cold enough yet.
You're right.
It's still ice cream weather.
Yeah, it is ice cream weather.
You're right. Everybody's talking like it's fall already, and I keep saying, no, it's not.
It's still kind of warm. Like even if it's raining, it's still this kind of weird warmth.
Yeah. So summer's not over yet. It's still ice cream weather, as you mentioned. So Mark, tell us, how's the Science Friday Science of Ice Cream going to work?
Well, ice cream is actually really kind of interesting scientifically. It's one of the more complex foods that we eat. And I got to learn about it. I got to go to the Penn State short course on ice cream a couple years ago and learned all about the physics and chemistry.
You went to ice cream college?
Yeah, it was like a week and you just totally geeked out on ice cream. And Ben and Jerry and all these people have gone to that course. But, you know, you learn about how ice cream is made and then the properties. And so we're going to talk about, like, one question for you, Shelley. What do you think, what phase of matter do you think ice cream is? Is it a solid? Is it a liquid? Or is it a gas?
I think it's not a gas. But if this is a trick question, maybe it is a gas. I think it's a solid.
It's all three.
Is it?
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, it was a trick question.
So you have solid, you have ice, right? It's in the ice cream and the fat. But then you also have water. Because there's always some water, and that's a solution of water and sugar that keeps the ice cream creamy. So you have the liquid of the water, and then you have gas because you have air bubbles. And that's what makes ice cream light and fluffy. And they're
interesting.
Yeah. And it's an emulsion and it's a foam. So an emulsion is like salad dressing, right? You have these things, oil and vinegar, that don't want
to
mix.
Yeah.
But you have an emulsion where they're suspended. So you have the fat and the water in this state of emulsion. And then you have a foam because you have air bubbles trapped in it. So
that
it's really complicated. But that's kind of why it's amazing. Because when it hits your mouth, everything changes.
So you're going to talk to the kids about all these different properties
of
ice cream?
I'm not going to go that in depth, but we're going to talk about what phase is.
I think we could handle it.
Well, then sugar. Like, what is the role of sugar?
Mm-hmm.
So it lowers the freezing point of water.
Really?
So just like salt, right?
I was going to say, and salt's involved too, right?
Salt does the same thing, so that's why you put salt on the roads. We could put sugar on the roads. That would be really expensive. And alcohol does the same thing. That's like when you put your vodka in the freezer, it never freezes because alcohol does the same thing. So these little atoms, like these little these sugar molecules, they get in the way of the ice crystals. So they stop them from hooking up because ice crystals want to hook up and become bigger. So when you have your ice cream in the freezer for a long time, you don't want to do that. because every time you melt and refreeze that ice cream, you let those ice crystals get bigger because you're warming up the ice cream and letting you're letting them recrystallize and cause these big crystals. So there's a lot of interesting stuff with ice cream, but we're also going to make some ice cream. So we're not just going to talk about the physics and the chemistry, but we're going to make some ice cream, and we have like 7 machines that we're going to have on site, and a hand crank so they can get to do that.
I was going to ask, are the machines like electric? Are they hand powered? How's that going to work?
Yeah, we're going to use the kind most people have, those little freezer bowls that you stick in your freezer. And that's mostly what we're going to use. Then we have a hand crank with the salt and the ice. And then we're going to do a little race with those. You know, the kids have done this with the Ziploc bag. Have you done that before?
I don't think so.
It's cool. You take like a medium Ziploc, and you put, you know, half and half and sugar and vanilla in that. And then you take a gallon Ziploc, and you put ice and salt in that. And you put the little bag inside the big bag, and you just squish it up.
Oh.
And it's kind of like a churn. You're kind of churning it with this salty ice.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, so we're gonna race the machines with these little Ziploc bags.
Oh, that's terrific. Where are the ingredients coming from? Are you donating those?
We're doing a little bit, but Friends of the Library is buying most of them.
All right.
And
thanks, friends.
Yeah.
Thanks, friends. We love the friends.
Yay, friends.
Buy more books.
Yes.
Buy more used books.
Yep.
Like pay for all these cool programs,
yeah,
right?
We do, yeah. We're really lucky that Friends take some money from the books they sell, and then they give it to, like, they let the library have it and use it for cool programs all year round. So we're really lucky. We have a great Friends of the Library.
And can I just mention one little thing?
Of course.
I just started a podcast.
Oh, yes.
So
that.
If you want to hear me geek out about ice cream more, you could listen to that. You can go to copa.biz/podcast and you can subscribe. So I've done one on vanilla and one all about chocolate, and that's coming up soon, and kind of the history. So we're just going to go in depth about these interesting facts about ice cream.
Oh, that's terrific. I've learned so much about ice cream every time you come in, whether it's the history or the science or just what's happening at Copa. So,
I brought you some. I don't know if you want to.
I brought you some. Well, I wasn't going to ask.
There's some vanilla and rhubarb in that jar.
Thank
so
you.
You can share that.
Thank you. Did you bring some for Kate, too? Or do I have to share with Kate?
No, she's going to have plenty tomorrow.
Yeah, plenty tomorrow. If you notice that there's a whole lot of library staff hanging around, I think that might be, they're hoping for some extra.
Yeah. When I teach after school at the middle schools, teach this class every year, and you see a few teachers kind of hovering around.
Yeah, kidding.
Yeah, I think the same thing will happen once I bring that outside the studio. We'll get the KTO staff will gravitate towards it.
We should say the time probably, huh? What?
Yeah, it's at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Valley Library.
Great. And where in the library should kids go?
It's going to be the large conference room. So, right, you come in, it's going to be on the left-hand side, that big, big room we have.
And if a couple of parents want to hang out and help manage the chaos, we would love that.
Help herd some cats.
We're going to teach kids how to measure. And, you know, there's kids don't really know that kind of stuff when they're up a certain age. Unless some kids do, but it'd be helpful to have a few parents.
For kiddos of all ages.
Yeah. Maybe not like two, you know, really young ones, unless you... You know, the parents can kind of help entertain them. But
we're shooting for like elementary age.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So that's tomorrow, 1 p.m. in the large conference room of the Valley Library. And the science of ice cream with Mark Wheeler. And Kate, you've got a couple other things you want to mention in your weekly update.
Yes? Yeah, I have a couple more things. So tonight we have a movie at the Valley Library. It's at 5:30. There's going to be some pizza and popcorn. And I just learned this Tuesday. So I cannot say the movie, but there's nothing preventing Shelley from saying the movie.
Oh, really?
Oh, you can't promote or something?
I can't promote because
I know what it is.
I know what it is,
so
too.
Either of you, if you want to tell the audience.
I didn't even know it was a movie.
Oh,
I just thought it was a book.
It's a great movie, and we're really dragging it out here. Suspense is killing
everybody's
anybody.
Like, what is the movie?
I found out last week the movie is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's from 2005, I think.
The 2005 one.
Most Deaf and a bunch of other people.
Most Deaf,
it's a really cool movie, yeah.
I think it's PG. I think all the movies that we're doing for the Great American Watch are PG, so.
And great songs, too.
Yeah.
Is that going to be in the same room, or where is it going to be?
It is. It's going to be in the same room because we have the screen that can come down.
The old screen.
Yeah, and I think there's like some blinds you can close to make it kind of dark the theater.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of dark outside. It's good movie weather, and that's tonight at 5:30, right?
Yep.
Valley Library. Okay, and then the last thing is probably the thing I'm almost more excited about than ice cream.
this is going to be exciting for kids, too. So September 1st at the Valley Library, we're going to have a celebration for Harry Potter because it's going to be the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter in the U.S., and we're working with Perseverance Theater. So if there's anybody out there, kids or adults, who want to be actors to read the chapter 6 of the first book, they can contact Julie at Perseverance Theater. Huh. They have until August 18th next week to let her know, and then she's going to get some actors to
And that's adapted work. For script? Or
I think, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's kind of in the theme of back to school, which is why they're reading chapter 6.
Yeah, chapter 6 is the chapter where Harry gets on the train for the first time. So So back to school, getting on the train and everything. And there's going to be a whole lot of other there's going to be the reading and a whole bunch of other crafts and events and everything.
And that sounds exciting. I know We've got a lot of Harry Potter fans out there. And J.K. Rowling just passed through town.
Yeah,
she did.
Crazy,
she
was just, huh?
I didn't really hear too much about it apart from like the Rainy Day Retweet, as I'm calling it, because it was a tweet from Rainy Day Retreat.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that was exciting. So I think everybody that definitely got the Harry Potter fans all riled up.
Yep.
So they can channel that energy in the read.
Yep.
I remember when my daughter read the first one. I mean, when she was in Harry Potter, she wanted to go to London when she was that age because she was sure that she could find the track 9 and a half. Yeah. And she was crushed. We couldn't do that.
Oh no.
Well, we all go through that stage.
Yeah.
When I was obsessed with Alice in Wonderland, and I always searched for little things that would say "eat me" or "drink me."
Yep.
Hopefully, that went okay.
Yeah. I'm still here. Okay, so all right, so Science Friday tomorrow at the library, 1 p.m. Valley Library, The Great American Watch Movie, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy tonight, 5:30 p.m. And then actors requesting actors for the Harry Potter reading on September 1st. Contact Julie Copens at Perseverance Theater. More information on the Juno Public Library's website and Facebook page. Kate, thanks again for being back this week for our weekly update.
Yay.
Mark, thanks for being here,
thanks,
too.
Thanks, Shelley.
You guys have anything else you want to add?
Nope, I think that's it for today.
All right. Well,
go libraries.
Yeah. Go libraries.
And listen to Mark's podcast.
Yeah, check out Butterfat.
Dedicate one to the ladies. Sometimes a bank needs something to keep you cool. Ah, now summertime's here, babe. Need something to keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, my. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I got to put my banana Dixie cups, all flavors and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing by just about 11 o'clock. I never stop. I'm usually passing by just around 11 o'clock. And if you let me cool you one time, you'll be my regular stop. All right, boys. Now put my banana, Dixie cups, old flavors and push up to her eyes. Man, stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed satisfied. Yes. Hug your ice cream, man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Hug your ice cream, man. Satisfied. Oh, what a time!
satisfy.
Hi, this is Ricky D., host of Flashback Fridays every other Friday on KRNN. I listen to KRNN because of all the different personalities, all the great music, and the potpourri of life that is served to you daily. Tune in, please.
It's 21 minutes after the hour. You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are Karen Rayfield and Rosemary Hagevig, here to talk about the annual PEO Whale Watch Cruise. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So every year, the PEO organizes a fundraiser that takes the form of an Allen Marine whale watching tour, and that's what you're here to promote today. So tell the good people all about it.
Well, thank you. We'd love to. The Whale Watch is next Thursday, August 16th. It's from 6 to 9 in the evening, and it's a $75 price for a dinner cruise and whale watching experience. And we've had a really good success rate with not only the whales, but great food that our PEO members bring and provide. And, of course, Allen Marine does a great job supporting community organizations for fundraisers like this.
That's a great price for a whale
watch. We've had unusually good weather, too, so...
We'll see.
We'll see. We're hoping.
You got a week to get
actually,
this
actually, the
Allen
Marine
up.
Boats are comfortable. It almost doesn't matter what kind of weather you have because the boats are super comfortable.
Right. And I've been on those before. So if you don't want to go outside, you can still get a great view from inside. Terrific. So and let's talk a little bit about what the PEO is. Who are they? What do they do? What's your role in the organization?
Well, thank you. Our PEO is a philanthropic education organization for women. It's been in existence for 150 years. It's all over the United States and Canada. So there's about 250,000 women who are involved in PEO. Here locally, we have three chapters. Chapter G is the one that's hosting this fundraiser next Thursday. And we use our funds to support not only local scholarships here, but also for PEO International Scholarships that runs not only a women's college, but several different programs for education.
And there is a connection between the international scholarship opportunities and local participants. Not too many years ago, we had the opportunity to sponsor a woman here in Juneau who was had been out of the workforce for a while and was returning to the workforce and were able to get her involved with a PEO International opportunity, and she went on to finish her Master's of Social Work and is, you know, successfully involved in the field right now, and certainly a field where there's a huge need for qualified people.
That's terrific. And so the proceeds from the Whale Watch Cruise, they go into supporting programs and individuals like that. Well, it sounds like a great cause.
Yeah.
What's the most exciting thing you've ever seen on one of these cruises?
Oh, my gosh. 2 years ago, we had just it was almost nonstop bubble feeding.
Wow,
just
really?
Nonstop bubble feeding. And then several whales just continued to breach and breach and breach.
You're kidding.
It was and I've lived here my entire life, and I've never seen that much whale action before. So it was very exciting. And I think even the crew on the Allen Marine boat were impressed with that night. So I'd like to say it's because of PEO the whales were, you know, very active, but we'll see.
They were feeding on that strong female energy.
Yes. I've lived in Southeast since the early 60s, and I, you know, people might think that we would take this sort of thing for granted, but I never get tired of watching the wildlife and especially the whales.
And they do take you up around Benjamin Island, so you also get to see the sea lions that are sort of lounging
the
around there.
Yep.
And so it's very nice. It's a very nice evening on the water.
And the dinner is spectacular.
What's on the menu? Let's talk about that.
Go ahead, Rosemary.
Well, I know that we do a wonderful meatball offering. We have vegetarian chili. There's an abundance of salads and desserts and breads and just a typical, you know, Southeast Alaska, everybody brings something kind of thing. So it's the members of our chapter that are organizing all of the food and bringing it. And it's a dinner that people really seem to like. They come back for more every year.
Yeah.
Who's the best cook?
We have a lot of great cooks in our PEO chapter.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Good answer. Very diplomatic. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So that's Thursday, a week from today. So
that's
the
right.
16th?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. And you'd like folks to arrive at 5:30.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. They need to be – they start loading the boats around 5:30. I just wanted to say that we do we provide scholarships locally as well. And have had for a number of years an association with UAS and worked through the University Foundation for that, and then give high school scholarships to graduating seniors from Juneau, girls.
That's great.
Our emphasis is women, you know, getting women into educational situations and then into professional level in the workforce.
So they can maybe use a scholarship to attend UAS or to attend a vocational program or something
or to
like
go
that.
Anywhere. In fact, just last year, given some of the applications that we had, we noted that there was a real need and an interest in vocational scholarships. And so we set aside a certain amount of funding in our scholarship fund to deal with that kind of an application should we get any of those in the future, because I think it's really important. You know, for instance, a good hairdresser is hard to find. And if someone wants to go and, you know, go through one of those programs and get licensed and everything, those are absolutely necessary professions in the community and everywhere as
and
well.
And in high demand in Juneau.
Very high demand. Very hard to get in.
Yeah.
Well, and they have, you know, as Rosemary has mentioned before, these are very competitive scholarships. And so a lot of students apply at both high schools for these. And it takes a lot to go through because the applications are generally just very excellent.
I think this year we had 22 or 23 from both of the high schools and, you know, very, very competent students who applied. It was very hard to do the selections.
What are some of the requirements for a recipient?
Oh, well, there's academic performance. There's involvement in activities, community service. We give credit in our scoring matrix for people who've held a job while they were going to school, and certainly financial need, although we are finding more and more that all economic strata are generally in need of some kind of financial assistance because the cost of higher education is so high that generally people have to put together a patchwork of different revenue sources in order to make it at all.
Yeah. And when is the application period open? Is it open year-round or just during certain times?
No, we generally open it for the local scholarships. We generally open it in mid-April and make the selections in time for the scholarship award ceremonies that are held at both high schools.
And how are some of the ways you get the word out about the applications?
We work with the career and vocational people at both the high schools.
Terrific. Yeah. And you can always come on a Juneau afternoon and talk about it, too.
Exactly.
Good idea. We haven't done that before.
So if you buy a ticket for the Whale Watch, the Allen Marine Whale Watch tour next Thursday, that's where the proceeds will go, and that's how they'll be used. And they'll benefit local female students here in Juneau and some international students as well. And, so that's Thursday, 6 p.m., arrive at 5:30 p.m., return at 9 p.m., and dinner is included. Where can we find more information or buy tickets?
If they're interested in getting a ticket, they can call Barbara Pavitt, who is our ticket coordinator. Her number is 209-4931. I know that we are getting close to selling out most of the tickets, but we have had a wait list in the past, and typically we've gotten most everyone who wants to go on the vessel that evening. So it's worth a call to Barbara just to make sure that there'd be space available for them.
That sounds great. Anything else you guys want to add or mention while you're here?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered most of what we came to talk about.
That's terrific. Well, thanks.
I think that just to mention that PEO really is in town is an important organization and has worked hard to promote educational opportunities for women. And to the extent that the public can help us with that, we'd really appreciate it.
Yes. I think that's great. Well said, Karen.
Yeah.
Karen Rosemary, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Have fun on the boat.
Lightning speed, yeah. Take a seat and wait till I'm ready. I'm coming, so hold on steady, yeah. Big ship sailing on the ocean. We don't need no commotion. Big ship sailing on the ocean. Whoa, whoa, yeah. Say big ship sailing on the ocean. Sailing on the ocean, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a time when the sea gets rough, the wind is blowing and the fishes keep moving. What are you doing, Mr. Man? Sit down, hold on tight, get ready, cause we're sailing. Big ship sailing on the ocean, we don't need no commotion. Big ship sailing on the ocean, get ready cause we're moving. Big ship sailing on the ocean. Whoa, 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 yeah. Big ship sailing on the ocean.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and with me in the studio is Donnie Burris from the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Good to have you back, Donnie.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I love it when you come in. And, you know, once a month or so, maybe once every couple weeks, somebody from Zach Gordon comes in and gives us an update on some of your activities. And now it's all about back to school.
Back to school. It's cool.
So, but how was your summer? How's summer been going over at the Youth
Summer
Center?
Has been fantastic. We are wrapping up our summer camps. We have one more camp next week. It's Art Around Town. And it's been spectacular. We've been climbing and playing at the beach and hiking and all sorts of things. This week, they're gathering in harvest. So they're up at Eagle Crest gathering berries, and they're going to make jelly. It's just great.
Oh, man. I wish I was a kid and could go to the Youth Center.
Yeah.
I would love to spend my summer there. Also, speaking of harvesting, I saw some pictures of your garden, like what you guys picked out of the garden on the Facebook page.
Did you see that huge zucchini?
Yes. It's gigantic. I didn't think you could grow them like that up here.
Oh, my gosh. It was so fun to see the kids' reactions when they were like, those were the little seeds we planted. I'm like, yes, it was huge. And there's still another really big one out there.
What are you guys going to do with it?
So yesterday we made a stir fry with it. It was included in the stir fry. So it blended in very well. And it was more than enough. We didn't even have to use multiple zucchinis. That one was just fine.
It's like carving a turkey.
Yeah.
Well, if you need any zucchini bread or zucchini cookie recipes, I've got a couple good ones.
I might take you up on that.
Yeah, that's what I always used to do with my, you know, extra large harvests.
Oh,
so
great.
That's great. That's so exciting for the kiddos.
It's very exciting.
And what are some activities that they do on rainy days like this to keep themselves busy?
So today the kids were playing board games. So lots of board games on rainy days. Some of the more popular ones right now are Settlers of Catan and Munchkin. And so a lot of pool and ping pong, just trying to stay dry. And then otherwise we're like, go outside anyway. It's Juno.
Yeah, that's true. I have to tell myself that all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as usual, the summer has flown by. So now we got to talk about back to school stuff. When does school resume for Juno kids?
So 11 days. Wow. If you're a mom like me, it's 10 because I don't count today. So it starts on August 20th. And in celebration of back to school, we wanted to hold a school supply drive at Zach Gordon Youth Center for our youth. And so it was starting on August 1st, but we're going to take supplies all the way to August 31st, even though it's a little after school. And we just welcome donations of notebooks, pens, pencils, new socks, backpacks, lunch packs, anything that you stroll down the back to school aisle and you think might fit for kids that are going back to school. We would love those donations. And then what we do with those donations is at our back to school barbecue, which is going to be Friday, August 17th. We have our Zach kids and we just gift them with the donations to make sure that they have what they need on the first day of school. As you know, school supplies are very costly, and so a lot of kids might not have direct access to it. So this school supply drive is very dear to our hearts because we want to make sure that our kids have what they need for the first day of school. Oh, my gosh. I remember being young and staying up and sharpening all of my pencils and packing my book bag, and I was so happy. And so it's just really awesome that we get to be a part of making sure that our Zach kids also get the chance to sharpen their pencils the day before school and get excited about the first day.
Totally. Do you still get nostalgic about going back to school when you see the school supplies pop up in the store?
I love it. I'm always one of the first moms getting school supplies. Like, as soon as they put out the loose leaf paper, which I don't know why it seems they always put that out first, I'm buying, like, stacks. And my kids are, like, just in middle school, so they don't even really use it, but I have to get it. It's like 50 cents.
It sounds like it's a tradition for
it's
you.
It's a tradition.
Well, I get nostalgic for it, too, but I usually don't buy anything because I don't go back to school. So maybe this year I'll buy a couple things and donate them. And
that would be so wonderful.
Yeah, if other people have that kind of back-to-school nostalgia and don't know what to do with it, this is a good channel for that.
Oh, yeah, we definitely welcome that.
So you can drop those off at the Zach Gordon Youth Center.
Yeah, so you can drop those supplies off over at Zach Gordon during our open hours, which is Monday through Friday, 11 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, 3 to 10. We'll have a tote at the front desk. Just see the front desk person and tell them you have donations, and you can drop them off there. Those details are also on our Facebook page, so if you miss something, you can always call us at 586-2635 or check out our Facebook where we have a flyer updated with some information.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the information on all your events is very easy to find online, Facebook, or I think Facebook's the best place. That's where I usually
get great.
It. Okay, and then there's the back-to-school barbecue. You mentioned that already.
Yeah, so we're going to have a back-to-school barbecue, and that's going to be on a Friday, the last free Friday before school starts. We're going to barbecue from 4 to 6, and we're going to have music, food, and some door prizes. Mm-hmm. So we want to see all the kids come out and just have a good time before school starts. We're really excited about that, and it's always a great time. We'll have some goodies as well. And then that'll be the event that we will hand out some of the donations we get from School Supply Drive.
Great. And then there's another barbecue coming up, too. And that is actually tomorrow.
Yes.
For a different cause and a different occasion. So tell us
yes.
all about that.
So tomorrow we are going to be celebrating the youth in our summer work program, the Yup Crew,
yeah.
which is the Youth Employment and Parks. And they've been hard workers this summer.
I know.
Guys have probably seen some of their work, even walked on the trails. They've been doing work out at Treadwell and Rainforest and Brotherhood. They've been all over. So it's been great to have them out working on the trails and to celebrate their hard work this summer working on the parks and trails in Juneau. They're having their graduation where we celebrate their hard work and a celebratory barbecue as well. We love to eat at Zach Gordon. If you hadn't noticed, we celebrate everything with food.
Sounds like your grill is especially getting a lot of use.
The grill definitely gets used. It's a great tool. So that the Yup graduation is tomorrow from noon to 1 at Zach Gordon Youth Center. And we're just very excited to see those young teenagers work so hard, and they made it through the whole summer. It's a very good crew. Every morning they're just delighted to be there, and they work hard and come back all sweaty and dirty. But the smiles on their faces when they earn their pay and just the confidence you see, it's amazing.
How many graduates do you have this year?
I think the program, and I don't want to be quoted, but I think it's around 8 to 10 kids. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good crew.
Oh, yeah,
great
crew.
You know, you see their mark all over town. I hit the trails a lot.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the photos of the bridge they built on the Outer Point Trail.
Yeah, isn't that remarkable?
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And very, very much needed out there. So that's a pretty wet trail. So thanks, Yep Teens. Mm-hmm. Good job. And I also really enjoy seeing them out there. And they do take a lot of pride in their work. So many congratulations to them. And I hope you guys have a great ceremony tomorrow.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, you're welcome, Donnie. Thanks again for being here. And we will see you next time.
is Bird Note. It's the tail end of summer, and the Wilson's warblers had a busy few months. In May, courtship and nesting reached full swing. The tiny yellow birds made their homes amidst dense thickets in the humid and boreal coastal forests of northern North America. By early August, those forests were alive with flashes of yellow. Despite the attentions of predators and the vagaries of weather, many adult pairs have raised their four young, which flit and flicker amidst the undergrowth. Young male warblers, fledged in June or July, have been learning their father's songs all summer. Next spring, they will sing these songs too. By early September, perhaps after one last afternoon dip in a local puddle, Wilson's warblers will begin their migratory trek south. Flying after dark to avoid predators, feeding in cover during the day, these tiny birds are bound for Belize, where many will find a winter home in a coffee plantation. So, if you're a coffee drinker and you choose to buy shade-grown coffee, you're helping to preserve the wintering grounds of this bird and many others. Thank you. Learn more at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Support comes from Sasquatch Books, announcing Bird Note, the book, full of illustrations and stories of 100 birds. More at sasquatchbooks.com.
About 11 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and here with me in the studio is the one and only Nancy DeCherney from Juno Arts and Humanities Council, here with Arts Up, all of our arts and culture activities for the week and weekend. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's, oddly enough, a fairly short group of things, but I think it's because summer's winding down and you're going to need to do all the things that you need to do before school starts next week.
I know. Plus, you know, we had a lot going on for First Friday last week, so everybody can take a little breather this weekend, but so, still need to do stuff.
So it's the Jump Summer Film Festival this weekend. That's tonight from 7 to 9, and then again on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I think these are all free, but you need to get tickets because seating's limited. So you can get more information about that. They're shown at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, but you can go on to info@jumpsociety.org. Send them an email to get more information about all of it. It's locally made short films. Yep. Always fun.
It is always fun.
And who knows what you're going to find out there.
Yeah, it's always a little weird, too. But I enjoy it. I intend to be there.
Weird is good. Yeah. On Friday from 5 to 7:30 is the Southeast Fest 2018 at the Amalga Distillery and Devil's Club Brewing. You must be 21 plus. It's $35 for pre-sale tickets. They are for both locations. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of interesting food and beer and wine. And
you know, does one ticket get you into both locations?
It says both locations.
That's great. So you can go to the distillery and get your drinking your snack and then go over to the Devil's Club. They're right next door to each other, too, so that's convenient.
Convenient and fun. And, you know, the weather's supposed to improve. It's already nicer than it was a few minutes ago. So
sure,
there you are.
Only an 80% chance of rain tonight.
And then we also, at from 5:30 to 7 Friday night, are having the best block party ever.
It is at the Jack party.
Because we don't think the weather's entirely promising. It's Gigi Monroe and Friends.
Wow. And you guys are lucky. And
we are, too.
Yeah,
so you should come.
Yeah.
And it's also the Daughters of the New Moon. So there'll be Gigi Monroe and Friends. Then there'll be some Daughters of the New Moon. And then there'll be some more Gigi Monroe. So it's the event is free to come to. There's a beer and wine garden. There's vendors. There's games for the kids. And it's going to be really wonderful entertainment. So do come out for that.
I know the block party starts at 5:30. What time does the entertainment start?
5:30.
All right. Sounds good.
Hit it. Bam.
Hit the ground running.
Yeah. So it's lots and lots of fun. And it's, you know, kids and families and dogs and everybody just come on down. And then when you get done with that, you can either go on over to the Jump Summer Film Fest at 7 or go over to the Alaska Fish and Chips Company because they have live music that starts at 8. So,
do you know who the live music
is?
No,
I forgot to check that out. But you can go onto their website and find their list. It's at AlaskaFishAndChips.com.
Yep, I've looked it up before. It's very easy to find that information.
Yeah, and they do a great job. Second Saturday Market is out at the Airport Shopping Mall on Saturday from 10 until 3. The Tongass Democrats Picnic at Sandy Beach with burgers, hot dogs, chips, and refreshments. Bring a dish to share, meet, talk, and hear from state and municipal candidates. There's a donation suggested. You can get more information on TongassDemocrats@gmail.com. I guess that's an email address. And that's from noon to 2:30 over at Sandy Beach. The Summer Film Festival is from 4 to 5. There's a city salon, which strikes me as being somewhat like the old coffee and collections or whatever. But this is about how weather, navigation, and communications contributed to the sinking of the Princess Sophia.
Oh, interesting.
It's a new series that they're doing centered on community dialogues about local history, culture, and literature. So that's from 4:30 to 6 at the Juno Douglas City Museum. Sounds like it would be very...
That's on Saturday?
Yeah.
Cool.
A nice way to start or be building up to this whole celebration. I don't know if celebration's the right thing about the...
Ceremony.
Whatever. The recognition of the Princess Sophia tragedy.
Yeah, we heard a little bit about that program last week from the City Museum folks, Beth and Alyssa. They were here and they were talking about that. It does sound super interesting. So I'm glad you brought it up again. That's Saturday at the Juno Douglas City Museum.
4:30.
Thanks.
And it's free.
And it's free.
There's the every other Saturday drawing group at the Canvas. Starts at 4:45. Doors shut at 5. So be there on time. Goes until 8. And again, 7 to 9 is the film festival. On Sunday, the House of Wickersham tours are going on, by the way, from 10 until 5. If you've never toured the House of Wickersham, you might want to do that. So as the summer's winding down, if you have guests in town.
Are those tours free as well?
I think so. It doesn't really say, but I'm assuming that they are just because of that. Let's see. And that's really what we've got for you. So I hope I see every one of you at the block party. It's going to be so fun. And this is the second to the last one. The next one on the 17th is the Mayor's Awards for the Arts, and the Njuzu Marimbas will be playing.
Oh, I love the marimbas.
Aren't they wonderful? It's happy music.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun to watch and to listen to.
Yeah. So come on out. The summer is, as we say, coming to an end. Now, also, we're getting ready for the food festival. At the end
of
the
festival,
The Harvest Festival is the community garden. That's one weekend, and then the food festival at the Jack is the last Saturday.
What's the difference there?
The Harvest Festival is out at the garden, and it's the harvest of the stuff out there. And the food festival includes not only produce but other vendor things that people are doing, information things. We have workshops. Eli Ray is going to be doing one on hydroponics. Cycle Alaska is going to be offering one on how to care for your bicycle and get it ready for the winter. There will be something on making sauerkraut. There are I'm already forgetting all of them. If there's more than three things, I have to have a list in front of me. And
it sounds like a good time, though.
Yeah, there'll be one on composting. So there's workshops to attend, and then there's all the different vendors and all kinds of fun stuff. So
great.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be back again to mention yep. that next week and tell us all about it.
Yep.
Okay. And how many more block parties are there, Nancy?
It's Fridays, tomorrow's, and then the one after that.
And that's it.
So you better get there.
Great. All right, Nancy. Thanks for being here as usual.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. On tomorrow's show, Ben Brown will be your host, and we'll hear all about Bug Day this Saturday at the Jensen Olsen Arboretum. Aaron Walker-Tolis will also be here to give us some updates on Catholic Community Services activities. We'll get the details about a single sock drive going on right now in Juneau, and a story about a Tongass Fish Pass, which brought together two men and years later their two sons. So we'll hear that story and find out more about the dedication ceremony coming up. Also, Gigi Monroe will be telling us about all about her performance at the block party tomorrow night and much, much more. If you'd like to be on a Juneau afternoon, go to ktoo.org and click Contact Us. We are on our summer schedule through the rest of this month with live shows Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, and special programming on Mondays and Tuesdays. Your regular producer, Scott Brown, will be back next week. This is my last show for about a week and a half while he gets back on board. So I've had a really good time filling in as producer and hosting a couple of days a week this summer. And I'm going to be, you know, very happy to give Scott that responsibility back when he returns. Today's show will be available on demand online at ktoo.org. Until tomorrow, this has been a Juneau Afternoon. Have a great Juneau evening.